Okay, it's May the 6th, 37th day of Yomer. Only for a little bit longer, but it still is. And we are in the Tzadi Vav Amid Aleph in Sanhedrin. We're in the middle of the Amid, and tonight hopefully we'll cover this, and also Amid Beis, Tzadi Vav Amid Beis. So, we described last time Sanherib's army's destruction and Sanherib himself being destroyed, and the different battles. So then the Gemara moves into some related topics. So first of all, just a very important point in the Gemara to underscore, which is the Gemara says the Gemara says in the medium lines, Amar of Zera Afagav the Shalach Rabbi Shuban Levi, his harub is Zakin Shashachach Talmudo Imachmas Ansai, his harub of Ridin Kerab Yehuda, his harub of Naami Aretz Shemehente Tzaira. We really went the last line there, even though he said that you should be careful with the children of Ami Haaretz because from them comes Torah. Ki hamel samay di'inan lehu, like this thing we tell them. The question is, what is this thing? Rashi has two pshatim, what this thing is, whether it's the previous thing in the Gemara or the next thing in the Gemara. So Rashi says in the top left column, ki hamel sa to la kaman, that which we're going to see later on, may di'inan lehu, we do tell them. That Nebuchadnezzar was only zeichet to the covet of being able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash only because of the four steps that he took, which we'll talk about in a moment. He also tells us to the children of the Ami Aretz, they weren't zeichet to their covet, meaning of the Tamina Chachamim, Ela Machmas Zchus Ma'at Shaya Baviyah, only because of some small schus that their ancestors had. That's me, P. Rebbe. The Islam, the others say, the Rebbe Zera Adel Elkai, the Rebbe Zera is going back to what we said before, Abnei Sancheret. Avagav the Shalach Rebbe Yehuda, he's over the Amei Arts, Vachabdon, Shemehem Teit Seif Taira, Ki Hechi the Nafku Mi Sancheret, that just like we're going to find later, that the children of Sancheret ended up becoming Tamei Chachamim, still, Ki Ha Milsa, my Diyam, we still tell them this thing, with Amei Arts, we tell them the previous story about the downfall of Sancheriv and his being killed. That which we give them covered, it's not because of their fathers or ancestors, it's not because of their Torah, that they shouldn't become Balei Gaiva, they'll say that their ancestors were Tzadikim. So it's interesting, the two Lashonos of Rashi are almost a stira. The Gemara is saying you have to be careful with Bnei Ami Aretz Shemehem Teitzei Torah. So even though an Am Aretz himself is treated or spoken about in pretty demeaning terms throughout Shas, but the children of Ami Aretz one has to be careful with to treat them properly, because Torah will come from them. The Gemara tells us that Torah is not a Yerusha, and Torah can come from Bnei Ami Aretz, or often does. So therefore, one has to be careful with their children. But nevertheless, even though we're careful, that we don't demean them, we still inform them of either what the Gemara is about to say or the Gemara just said. What the Gemara is about to say is the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how because of just four small steps, he was zeichet to have the covet of being able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, became the greatest melech in the world. So that's to show the Bnei Ami Haaretz that whatever zchusim they have is not because of themselves, but rather it's because of something in their past, some zchus that came from before them. Or we tell them what the Gemara says before, that that Sancheriv was a terrible person, and he was an avid of a zara, just even when Hashem was helping him, like our shir last week. And nevertheless, they, the Bnei Sancheriv, as we'll see on Amid Beis, became Talmidei Chachamim. So it can't have anything to do with Sancheriv himself. It must have to do with the children that they, the Torah they're learning. So now the goal here is to keep their perspective. We have Bnei Ami Haaretz who are getting covered, and we're trying to impress upon them that it's not because they're so great, it's because somebody in their past had a zchus that they should become who they are. Or it's not because something in the past, rather it's because of their Torah. So it's a little bit difficult, because it seems to be, we either emphasize their past, that that's the reason why they have Zechusim, or we say, no, it has nothing to do with your past, it has to do with your Torah, that you're learning now. So, either way, the emphasis is to avoid Gaiva, that even though they're becoming big Talmidei Chachamim, we still say to them that it's not you. Either it's because you have a zchus in your background, there's somebody somewhere in the background that did something which is why you've become Talmid Chacham or why you've gotten this covered, or we say it's not you or your ancestors, it's your Torah. It's the Torah that's giving you the covered, and that's it. That's the only thing, it's the only reason why you're having covered, is because of your Torah. So, my goal here is not to answer the stira. I'm sure we could work it out to make both fit. They don't have to be a direct stira, but certainly the focus is the reverse in the two Pshatim and Rashi. But it's important for us to realize today that I had a Rebbe, I have a Rebbe, Colin Weinreb, who was the 10th grade Rebbe in Neri Yisrael, who always used to say, probably still does, that none of us today have a reason to be here. That every one of us should have faded into oblivion, either through physical destruction in Europe, our ancestors being physically destroyed in Europe, and some of us are here because of the few who escaped, or because of the spiritual destruction in America and other countries, where even in the rare instances where the line of being Shomer Torah Mitzvot was never broken, nevertheless, it certainly was on the verge of being broken at some point or other. No one went through the tumultuous times of the certainly the first half of the 20th century without some story in the family, which is why any of us are here today. And so it's very important for all of us to be cognizant of the fact that it's not us. We didn't do anything to deserve to be alive today, to be from today. Yes, many of us have gone through tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, but why did we deserve to be in a position to be even able to exercise that Mesiras Nefesh? Why did we deserve to be in a position where we were able, if we're Bali Tshuva, to become Bali Tshuva, if we are from birth, but we're now B'nai Torah, that we should be B'nai Torah? It's somebody before us is the one who had some sort of schus, that they should have a descendant that should be sitting in a kollel based medrash on a Thursday night and learning Torah. It's not something that we can look at ourselves and say, well, it's kumtmir, it's because I did something, so I deserve it. It's very, very important for us to be aware of that. And we can all trade stories, either personal stories or stories of ancestors, but we can all trade stories of Mesiras Nefesh. There's no free lunch. It has to have come through some sort of Mesiras Nefesh. By and large, and I don't mean to diminish anybody's own Mesiras Nefesh, which I'm sure everybody has today, by and large, you go through what our ancestors went through in the first half of the 20th century, Befrat, and we will find Mesiras Nefesh that we can't reach their toenails, the incredible self-sacrifice that they went through. So it's just a perspective to be aware of. I don't know if we can call all of ourselves B'nai Amei Ha'aretz. Perhaps some of us have a direct line of ancestors who are not Amei Ha'aretz, who were all in the Geder of Chaverim. But still, it's not our zchus that makes us who we are today. It comes from people before us. I think it's a very, very important point to bear in mind constantly. The Gemara goes on to tell us the Maisa of Nebuchadnezzar, the four pesiyos, the four steps. So the Maisa goes that when Chizkiah got better, then the day became elongated. So here's the broader picture of the story. Now, we've talked about some of this before, but let's put it all in perspective. We know that Melech Ashur, Sancheirev, came and besieged Yerushalayim. And there was a great famine in Yerushalayim. It was a serious serious predicament. There was concern that they would all be conquered, taken as slaves, killed, etc. Just like the Aseres HaShvatim had already been taken into Galus. So Sanherib sent his emissary, Rav Shake, who was actually a Yisrael Mumer, which we'll learn about later, more about him, and he gave an ultimatum to Klal Yisrael that they should give up and leave Chizkiyahu HaMelech. They didn't, and we know that Sanherib's army was absolutely decimated. He was destroyed. We've learned about that already. 3 days before Sanherib's army was destroyed, and remember, they were destroyed on the night of Pesach. So 3 days before Pesach, that's when Chizkiyahu became sick. We talked about this in a previous shiur, that Yeshayahu came to Chizkiyahu and told him, Yeshayahu came to Chizkiyahu and told him that you're going to die and you won't live. You're going to die in this world, you won't live in Olam Haba either. Who knows the reason? Remembers the reason? Because he didn't marry. And why didn't he marry? Because he saw that Menashe was going to come from him, was in Russia, and Yeshayahu told him, you have no business having that decision. You have to do what the Torah says, which is to have children. That's your chiyuv. So he was makabel the teichacha, and he said to Yeshayahu, "Let me marry your daughter." Yeshayahu said no, and Chizkiyahu said, "Then leave, because kach mekublani beis avi abba. This is my kabbalah from David HaMelech. Even if a sharp sword is on the neck of a person, you don't hold yourself back from mercy." And Chizkiyahu went and davened. When he davened, Hashem sent a message to him that he will be saved, and that Sanherib's army will be destroyed, and that the parents in Eretz Yisrael will grow, because it was a total famine, there was nothing left. And that's what happened. So,
that's when he said, like, Maos.
Yeah, that's right. Now, when that happened, so when the Gemara tells us that when Chizkiyahu's father died and he was being buried, so that was Amoin, is that correct? I believe it was Amoin, who was Chizkiyahu's father. He was a Rasha. What's that?
Achaz, thank you.
Achaz was Chizkiyahu's father, and he was a Rasha, and when he died, the day was shortened to be only 2 hours instead of 12 hours, in order that there should not be time to give him a hesped. There shouldn't be time for a eulogy, because that would be a kapara for him, and Hashem didn't want that to happen. So he was, in order that should be, right, so anyway, he didn't want to have a hesped, so he shortened the day. Then, when Chizkiyahu got better, Hashem elongated the day, added back in the 10 hours. So the Gemara says that Merudach Beladon ben Beladon, the king of Bavel at the time, the Medrash tells us that he had, his custom every day was that he would eat in the third hour of the day, and then he would sleep till the ninth hour of the day. Like a schmuck, what a life, right? he would eat in the third hour of the day and then sleep till the ninth hour of the day. So that day, he ate in the third hour, slept till the ninth hour, woke up, and he saw there was morning. So he was ready to kill all of his avadim. He said, "You let me sleep through the night until the next day." So they told him, "No, it's the same day." So he said, "How did that happen?" So they said, I don't know how they knew, they said it was the king, it was the god of Chizkiyahu that did it. So he couldn't get over this Melech Bavel, couldn't get over the incredible nes that the power of the god of Chizkiyahu. So he wanted to send a message. So the Gemara tells us that he sent a message that the heading was Shalom to the Melech Chizkiyahu, Shalom to, let's see, Shalma Lamalka Chizkiyah, Shalom Lakarta de Yushalayim, Shalom to the city of Yushalayim, Shalom Le'alaka Rabba, and Shalom to the great God. So at that time, Nebuchadnezzar was the sofer of the king, he was the scribe, and he wasn't there when the message was written. So when the message finally, when Nebuchadnezzar came back and he found out that there was a message written to Chizkiyahu, he asked what was in the message. They told him, and he said, how could you do that? How could you put Hashem at the end of the list? First Chizkiyahu, then Yerushalayim, then Hashem. So you have to rewrite it. It should say Hashem, Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu. So he told this to the king. The king said, okay, it was your idea, so you go and you go take care of it. So he ran to go stop the messenger. So he ran 4 steps, and then Gavriel stopped him from running any further, because he was running for the covet of Hashem, and Gavriel stopped him. The Gemara tells us that he stopped him because had he run more, then he would have had the schus of destroying Klal Yisrael, not destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the rest of the story here is, actually, this is right after the Sanher's army was destroyed. So then when the messenger finally got to Chizkiyahu HaMelech and he read it, so then Bil'adon ben Bil'adon, who was the king of Merodach Bal-Mamlanum, the king of Bavel, sent his people to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu gave them the grand tour of his palace, and he showed them everything. He showed them, the Gemara tells us, he showed them his gold and his silver, but he also showed them
his wife poured a cup, he showed them gold and silver, he showed them his weapons, right?
Right. But he also showed them the Sefer Torah. So the Navi Yeshaya then sent to Chizkiyahu that because you did this, because you showed everything to Melech Bavel, then as a result, in the future, all of your things will be taken away by Melech Bavel, and your children will be Srisim, will be
eunuchs.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't have to be that. A Sris doesn't have to be that. It means it'll be servants in the house of Melech Bavel. Of course, that means Nebuchadnezzar is going to take everything away, and your descendants, which Rashi and Yeshaya says, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, we know from before that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, it's a machloikas, whether they were from Melech Yehuda or not, but Daniel certainly was, that they will end up becoming Srisim in the house of Melech Bavel. So, right now, the goal is not to understand what was so bad about Chizkiyahu did, but what is important to note is that it's not just that Nebuchadnezzar had his chus because he ran for the covet of Hashem, and as a result, he became the melech of the whole world and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's more than that. The very maisa in which Nebuchadnezzar was zeichet to become the melech, because he ran to stop the messenger, that same maisa is why Chizkiyahu deserved for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, and for him, it doesn't say that particularly, but for him to be taken, his children to becoming Avadim to Nebuchadnezzar, and all of his things being taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. It's all within the same Maisa. Now this is the second time we've had a reference to the Malach Gavriel stopping Nebuchadnezzar from doing something that otherwise would have meant that he would have had a chus to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. What was the other Maisa?
Saying praises more than
right. Mm-hmm. So we had it before, and what was it, that Sari Beis? Yeah, and Sari Beis and the Beis, that he was going to sing praises to Hashem because of the incredible mace of the Kifshan HaEsh and the mace of Shechi Yecheskel, and when he tried to do that, so he started it, and then the Malach came and slapped him on the face, on the mouth, to stop him from doing it, because had he said incredible praise, he would have had this chus to not only destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but destroy Klal Yisrael as well. So we talked about this then, that the Nebuchadnezzar was a tremendous Rasha. He was a depraved person, as we know from other Maisim in the Gemara, and he was a tremendous Rasha, and he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. On two occasions, he did do something for the covet of Hashem. And as that's really why he was zeichet the incredible covet that he got. Clearly this is an example of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the schar for what the person did in Olam Hazeh rather than in Olam Haba. Clearly that's what's going on. Just like with Arpa, that she was zeichet to Goliath etc. And Yishpi Benoiv to four incredibly strong and powerful descendants. The Zchar was Olam Hazeh, as opposed to Rus, whose Zchar was Olam Haba. So too here, Nebuchadnezzar has been given his chusim in Olam Hazeh, that he becomes such an incredible melech.
But it's not included in the list of the four kings.
The what?
The kings that don't get Olam Haba.
Right. Well, he's a guy, so it's a little bit... Bilam's a guy. Bilam also precedes, okay, we'll get to Bilam later. It's not a question of not having any Olam Haba, or yes, having a little bit of Olam Haba. The point is that the Zchusim were being used up here in Olam Hazeh. But the fact is that if he would have gotten too many Zchusim, then his Zchus in Olam Hazeh would have had to have been so great that he would have had to destroy Klal Yisrael. Now, what does that mean to destroy Klal Yisrael? Why is that such a big Zchus to destroy Klal Yisrael? So Klal Yisrael represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, which means we represent a sense of being subservient to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. We are the ones who are here to bring this world to its Shleimus, which is Shleimus and Ruchnius. Someone who is Shakua in Inyanei Olam Hazeh, someone who values only physical pleasure, hedonism, things of that nature, someone like that, then any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away from his pleasure. That hurts the person. That makes it difficult. Like the Gemara says that Olam Hazeh is either for Tzadikim Gemurim or Rishayim Gemurim. They're the ones who enjoy Olam Hazeh. Tzadik Gemur doesn't have any struggles. He's just connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Rasha Gomer doesn't have any struggles. He's having a great time. But this world is very difficult for the rest of us because we struggle, and the struggle is a very difficult struggle between what is right and what is wrong. So someone who's gotten to a point where they've earned incredible schus, but because they're a Rasha, the schus has to be paid off in this world, then that level of materialism is compromised by the presence of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael makes it difficult for a person to really, really, really nutz'ais and enjoy Olam Hazeh. So if Nebuchadnezzar had earned more in his covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the only way that he could have really gotten his chusim in Olam Hazeh would have been to destroy Klal Yisrael, which would have given him, then he would have really been able to be a Baal Taiva. Then he really would have been able to enjoy Olam Hazeh. So that was prevented by the Malach stopping him, both here and before. Yeah.
If he has no desire for anything beyond Olam Hazeh, why is it that the two things that he did are both Lizbo Shemayim? Like,
those are the only two.
But I'm saying, like, why would he do it at all? Like, I mean, it doesn't make any...
Those two were the anomaly. Exactly right. Those are the exceptions. That's how he earned something. If he wouldn't have done those things,
if he really hates everything to do with
he doesn't appreciate it. It's not pleasurable for him. Hashem has to reward him. How's he going to reward him? With pleasure. What kind of pleasure? So you and I get pleasure in Olam Haba. But where is he going to get pleasure? It can only be in Olam Hazeh. So it has to be an unfettered pleasure in order for him to really, really get his reward. But Klal Yisrael is always a thorn in the side for those who are looking for unfettered pleasure in Olam Hazeh. You can't have it because we project that Olam Hazeh is not what it's all about. That's what we project. So the very presence of Klal Yisrael hurts his ability to be completely consumed with it.
He doesn't seem to have any interest in destroying Klal Yisrael.
He was stopped.
He was,
no, he does. He destroys the Beis HaMikdash.
He does, but
Hashem brings him to this.
It's like the third.
It's all from Hashem.
He didn't make an attempt, and then
it's all from Hashem. No, it's not conscious. It's not conscious. He's not making a decision. Hashem's making a decision. But Hashem would have to have him destroy Klal Yisrael so that he could have all his pleasure. It's not his decision.
And he keeps all the Jews around in his own government, in his own.
Yeah, but if there's no Beis Hamikdash and the Beis Hamikdash is not rebuilt, then there's no Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael matters only for our mission. There's no purpose in Klal Yisrael without a future. That's why Baal Shatz are celebrated at the 70 years. That's why Achashver are celebrated the 70 years. Because if there's no rebuilding of Beis Hamikdash, then Klal Yisrael is irrelevant. Then it's like the Christians say, yeah, there was once a Jewish people that Hashem cared about, but it's no longer true. Now, the Gemara talks about Nebuzradon and how he was the chief butcher of Nebuchadnezzar, and we know the Maisa with the blood of Zechariah, which is one of the kiddush that we say on Tisha B'Av, because it's also alluded to in the pasuk in Eicha. Before we discuss that Maisa, at the end, the second of the white line on Tani Vav and Beis, the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanon, Nama Ger Toishav Haya, Nimuzradon Ger Tzedek Haya." Mivnei Banav Shal Sisra, Lamdu Torah B'Yushalayim, from the descendants of Sisra, they learned Torah in Yushalayim. Mivnei Banav Shal Sancherev, Limdu Torah B'Rabim, the descendants of Sancherev taught Torah B'Rabim, Umanin, who are they? Shmai V'Avtalyon. Mivnei Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Torah B'Vnei Brak, they learned Torah B'Vnei Brak. Also, the descendants of Nebuchadnezzar, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them to become gerim. Amru Malachi Hashar Sif Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbanu Shalom, Misha Hechreves Beisecha Vesarfes Echalecha Tachmes Tachas Kafi Hashchina. You're going to have them come into the Shechina. And the pasuk goes on to say that they were not brought in. So Nebuchadnezzar does not have any kind of redeeming quality in his descendants. His descendants do not, they're not mechaper for him in any way. Rashi says, a very enlightening Rashi says, Shalaisa Rasha, Nebuchadnezzar, Rafinu Velo Nir Pesa, Shaya Kodesh Baruch Hu Mvakish Lera Paisai, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to heal Nebuchadnezzar, Lahachnis Mime Barav Tachas Kanfe Ashchina, to bring his descendants to become Gerim. So, we know, we are aware, we all know that we do not encourage gerus. We don't try to get people to become gerim. The reason for that is because we are concerned about a person's sincerity. That if a person wants to become a ger, they need to demonstrate that they are sincere. One of the ways they have to demonstrate it is that no one is out to encourage them to become gerim, and if anything, there is a general arm's length policy to discourage people from becoming gerim, because usually when a person is interested in becoming a ger, they are not really fully cognizant of how much it means to be a yid and what the challenges really are, and we are concerned that they will not stand up to the challenge, and therefore it is better for them and for us that they not become gerim. But of course there are many gerim in Klal Yisrael. Is it a zchus for the ger to become a ger? It is. Is it a schus for a non-Jew to become a ger? It is a schus. It is wrong for us to try to get non-Jews to become gerim. That's an avla. That's the wrong thing to do. It is wrong for us to encourage it, and we must discourage it. But is it a schus for them? Yes, it is. Clear in the literature about gerus that it is a schus for the non-Jew himself who becomes a ger. Is it a schus for his ancestors? Evidently so. It's a schus because the Gemara here is telling us, not by chance, that the descendants of these Rishayim became gerim. Nebuzradan himself became a ger. He himself became a ger, which apparently is even a greater level, that he himself was Megayer. But then you have Sisra, Sancherev, and even Haman, that their descendants, at least some of their descendants, became gerim, and even Tamine Chachamim, even Gedolei Hadar in the case of Sancherev, because his descendants are Shmaya Vavtalyan.
And if his Radon's gerus is considered a good gerus, I mean, guy's a mass murderer, and he becomes a gerus in order to get a clean slate.
Yep.
Okay, you know.
No, he didn't become a ger. It's not in order to become a clean slate. It's because he realized how bad what he did was. We'll talk about that story in a minute.
They can murder 960,000 people to tshuva, you're fine. But he knows that if I come a ger,
if he does it, yeah, in knowing that he's going to do tshuva, right, then of course he's not fine. That's echa teva ashuv. Here he had the epiphany after he did it all.
Okay.
Clearly, he was the shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu do what he did.
Right.
Right. And Merishai Meitzei Rasha. He was a Rasha. That's why Hashem brought it through him.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have been punished, and we don't know. He might have been punished.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if it was a tshuva shlema,
mm-hmm,
but he nevertheless became a ger. Even a Russia, terrible, terrible Russia, who murdered millions of people, becomes a ger lemaisa. It's a chus for him. Now,
I thought he never actually converted. He
the Gemara here says that he did.
Okay.
The Gemara here says that he did. Now, before we discuss the Muzradon, the way Rashi says it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to heal the Nebuchadnezzar and bring
the,
what's that?
It's because of the pasuk.
I know. So in order to bring his children into his grandchildren, whatever, his great grandchildren, into Klal Yisrael. So the thing is like this: why would it be that these terrible Rishayim, that their descendants would become part of Klal Yisrael and even Talmidei Chachamim? I mean, what's the justification in that? The Malachi Ashari stopped HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol from bringing the descendants of Nebuchadnezzar because he's such a big Rasha. And Haman wasn't a big Rasha.
Mida, can I get Mida?
Yeah, what do you mean?
So, I mean, there's to the degree that they were against the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that same degree, their descendants were Marbet Torah.
Why should that happen? If I cared, if they're so bad, why should the descendants offset it?
Because they hate it so much. There's no bigger insult, I think, to someone who's a Sonei Yisrael or Sonei Kosh Baruch Hu to have it his kid.
You mean okay? Okay, that I always say that when you have, sometimes you have people who are you have Yidden who are not just not frum, but you have people sometimes who are anti frum, and it's always a Kadosh Baruch Hu sense of humor that one of their children becomes a Baal Tshuva. It's always
That's the whole talk of the world, basically. You know, everyone to recognize the Baal Tshuva.
Yes.
So if Goyim have potential to go all the way that way, then they should sure be able to go the complete opposite too.
Okay, I mean, typically we say that a guy's potential is less than a yid. They don't have the potential to go that far. Obviously, they come a ger, they're a yid, so it's a different story. I have heard Pshat said in this Gemara that the Pshat is because each of these Rishayim brought Klal Yisrael to a high level of tshuva. Sisra brought about Shiras Tevira, which the Gemara says, which the pasuk says is about tshuva, and Sancheirev brought about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, an incredible tshuva, and of course Haman brought about Purim. There was a great Sancheirev almost brought about Mashiach. So there was a great awakening in Klal Yisrael because of these Rishayim. So that there was a schus, even though of course they didn't mean it that way. Their aim was to destroy Klal Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael rose to the challenge, did teshuva, and their plan was thwarted. They were destroyed.
Uh-huh.
They were destroyed, and they were punished terribly. But Lamaisa, there was some degree of schus that they had. The Nesivis in his Hakdama to his Pirish on Megillas Esther, which is not so obscure. It's not like something I whipped out of my back pocket. Any of you could read it. It's printed in the Mikros Gedolos, Chumash. If you look at Mikros Gedolos, Sefer Shmois, in the back where it has Megillas Esther, they have the Akdama of Hagoyin Rav Yaakov Milisa, who is the Nesivis. And there he says, in explaining Ad Lo Yada Bein Ar Haman Labarach Mardechai, so he says over there that a person on Purim should be so sameach because of the nes that happened, a person should even think that Haman was wonderful because he brought it about. Without Haman, we wouldn't have Purim. It's all because of Haman that it happened. So even though we wouldn't have wanted Haman in the first place, it's akin to what the Gemara says on Tanihei Yom HaBeis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring Sancheirev to Chizkiyahu in order that Sancheirev be destroyed. The Gemara says that Hashem says, if I would ask Chizkiyahu, if I would tell Chizkiyahu, I'm going to bring Sancheirev to you and you'll destroy him, Chizkiyahu would have said, don't bother me. I don't want it. Don't give me it. Don't bring him here. Don't destroy him. Just don't bring him to me. So So Hashem says, but that's what I want to do. I want to bring Sancheriv and have him destroyed, to pit Sancheriv against Chizkiyahu, to show the godless of Chizkiyahu and the Torah of Klal Yisrael that destroyed Sancheriv. So it seems a similar type of thing, that although, of course, Haman was a terrible Rasha and wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, and we tackle, we're on the verge of destruction, have we not done Shuvah? And Sancheriv also, have we not done Shuvah? And Sister also, have we not done Shuvah? But Lemaisa, it brought out Me'akayach al-Apayel, the incredible Shuvah that Klal Yisrael did. And through that, we even have a Yantif for him. So that Tzchus is something that they have, which allows later for descendants to become Gerim, and even to become Tamei Chacham, and even leaders of Klal Yisrael.
Is it possible that Rabbi Akiva is a descendant of Haman, in terms of his connection with B'nai Brak? I know it's common, not the common.
Interesting, because it's B'nai Brak.
B'nai Brak, I mean, that's the
Imi. Okay, interesting. Don't know. That's a good question. Don't know the answer. He was a descendant of Gerim, we know that. Yeah. But I don't know the answer.
Of all the names that are associated with B'nai Brak, okay.
Yeah,
that's the one. I mean, it comes
that
jumps right at you.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say right. right.
He's older than you.
What? Yeah, Malak could convert. Yes. Yeah. Now,
is this an idea of Ben Mizrach as a
house
like we were
having? I don't know, because Rashi says Lara Paisa. Now, when he says Lara Paisa, so what does that mean? Is this going to be like a Rachmanis? Nebach, they were such Rishayim. So Hashem wants to bring a Ripoy and wants to heal him. So it could be that there is an element of that, meaning that a getter of like we know from Yashir, that Ma'isa Yadai Tavim Bayom Atem Ramshir, that Kodesh Baruch Hu Stavs Malachim, it is not the goal of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that Rishayim should be destroyed. Whether the Rasha is Chas V'Shalom a Yid or a Goy, Hashem is not out to destroy people. That's not what He wants. Nebuch, it has to happen at times, but that's not the goal of this world. It could be that on a grander scale, forget the individual. The individual was destroyed. Sancheriv was destroyed. Sisera was destroyed. Haman was destroyed. We celebrate that. But in the grander scale, the grander scheme of things, when you're dealing with the neshama, or the line of these Rishayim, that there should be some tikkun to what they did, to be merapet, to heal their line, someone comes about who becomes a Geren, does incredible things. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't zayche even to that. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, it seems, was so that he had used up his chusim to the point where there wasn't even a chance for a ripoy. Now the thing is that the Gemara says Hashem wanted to even be merape him, but the Malach Yashari stopped the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and of course we know that it's impossible. There's no such thing as a Malach stopping a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Malach is a robot that does whatever Hashem tells him to do. So clearly the Gemara is telling us this because Hashem wanted it to be presented this way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had kiviyachol a havamina. Of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu never changes his mind. So what that means is, there was a svara, there was logic to being merapa Nebuchadnezzar, but because, the Malach Yashar said, because of the fact that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, then there's no ripoy. Now, so what does that mean? What does that tell us? So in the context of what we said, we have to understand then that Haman was an attempted destruction, but it never happened. In the end, it never happened. Sancheriv was an attempt, it never happened. Sisera was an attempt, it never happened. But Nebuchadnezzar was successful. He actually did destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He actually did take Klal Yisrael to Golus. He did, his actions did chase the Shechina away. Now, it's not the pshat that his actions were the sole reason. It's because of our Averis. Like the Gemara says, that the Nabi said to Nebuzradon, you killed a dead person, you destroyed a destroyed city, it's not because of you, it's because it was an already exera. But Lamaisa, Nebuchadnezzar is the one who brought that about. So it seems that goes too far. Ultimately, when you weigh, did Nebuchadnezzar bring Klal Yisrael to Tshuva or to Averis? Which one? Galus is a kapara. We're in Galus in order to be mechaper for Averis, so that we can come back to Yerushalayim eventually. That was true in Galus Bavel, and it's true now in Galus Adam. But do we look at it as is it in the ultimate analysis, is there more good that comes out of it, or more bad that comes out of it? Lamaisa, unfortunately, we have to go to Galus. Galus brings about more bad than good. Yes, it will eventually lead to good. Yes, it will eventually lead to a Geula Shleima. But there is enough bad that takes place that does not give Nebuchadnezzar the right for a replay, for being healed in the end, for his line to come back. There is a svara for it, because Lamaisa Galus also brings about a tshuva, it brings about kapara. So there is a svara to give him something, but the fact is that the amount of destruction that he brought removes that possibility. So it comes out in the end a fascinating thing, which I'm not saying I understand it, but mathematically this is what comes out. Nebuchadnezzar, who demonstrated on two occasions incredible kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which gave him so much zechus that he had to be stopped, because otherwise he would have had to destroy Klal Yisrael. So his chus is so great that he's the one who becomes the Melech al Kol Ha'olam, on the whole world. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that he was Malach Bekipa. He ruled over the entire known world, and he destroys the Beis HaMikdash, which no one else was able to do. So he reaches that pinnacle of greatness because of the incredible schus he had. But Lamaisa, because the expression of that schus was not just an attempted destruction of Klal Yisrael, but an actual destruction, as a result, he is denied replay. He can't have that healing that happens even for Haman. It would therefore seem to me, by extension, that although we have no idea why, what zchus Hitler Yemach Shemoy had to become such a powerful melech, who he was, which is a zchus, that for a number of years he was sitting on top of the world, being the most powerful melech in the world, and he was therefore quote-unquote zeiche to be the stick through which Hashem struck us, the sword that Hashem used to strike us for whatever reason. But then he was destroyed. So do we say that it's possible Mimbe Banov will eventually become Geirim and possibly Talmidei Chachamim? It would seem to me, of course I'm not an Avi, I can't say for sure, but it would seem from the precedent we have in this Gemara that would not happen. Because Lamaisa, it wasn't an attempt, it was successful. The destruction of Jewry in Europe was successful. So Memela, it would seem to me that the same precedent we have with the Nebuchadnezzar would be applicable in this case as well. That's what I would imagine. Of course, we're not Nevi'im, but just based on the Gemara, it would seem that should follow.
Does this mean that the Sisera and Haman and everything have Olam Haba?
It doesn't seem like they do.
I mean, otherwise, how does it help me that my children are...
In the grand scheme of things, in the line, there is a replay. I don't know if it means that they have anything. I can't tell you. I don't know what goes on in the next side, on the other side. I don't know how it works. How does it work with Jews and Gaim? I don't know how the whole thing works. So I can't tell you. Now, one last thing for this evening is this painful maisa of Nebuzradon with the blood of Zechariah. Okay, I think it goes without saying that the maisa before that, where Nebuchadnezzar sends a whole bunch of hammers that should break through the wall of Yerushalayim, and they all became blunted and couldn't do it, and he only had one left, and he banged it with the back of the hammer and the wall fell in, that maisa is to show us that it was Alpines and it was Alpinavi, that it wasn't through the strength of Nebuchadnezzar, it was because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera that the wall would fall down. I'll call upon him. So he comes into Yerushalayim and he finds the blood of Zechariah, or he finds blood that is boiling. He doesn't know what it is. He asks, they tell him that it's animal blood. He tests it. It's not animal blood. So then he forces them. He threatens them with torture, and they tell him it was the blood of Zechariah. So he begins to kill people, and he kills hundreds and thousands and 10,000s and even hundreds of thousands of people, it appears.
So the question is, why does he care? I mean, is he looking for an excuse to murder people, or something that he's really bothered by?
I think he's getting a message from, he feels it's a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They clearly felt that this was a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They were here because Hashem said to do it.
They thought he was doing God's will.
Right. Which he was.
I'm saying, but from his perspective, he had
yeah. say, I think it was a conscious perspective. And he was. He was. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's retribution for the murder of Zechariah. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the story with Zechariah? The story of Zechariah is that it goes back to the story of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol and Yehoash the king. Yehoash, in the time of Zechariah Kohen Gadol, of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, this is the mice that the Gemara alludes to. It really follows from the Gemara before. The Gemara tells us before, on Sanihayim and Beis, that as a result of Naiv Irakayanim, where only Avyasar escaped, so all of David's descendants were killed, except for one, and that was Yehoash HaMelech. So at that time, Asalia, who was a Risha, she was a woman, she killed out all of the line of David HaMelech. She did not get to Yehoash, who was only 1 year old. He was hidden by his wet nurse. He and his wet nurse were hidden by Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, and the only place to hide a person where no one could possibly look, even the queen, even Asalia, who took the royalty for herself, where no one could possibly find them, would be in not just the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a machlokes. I saw two versions, whether it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself or in the room above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Either way, no one was allowed to go in those places. So he lived there for 6 years, till he was 7 years old, with his wet nurse, living with all the normal activities of daily life. He never exited, which means he ate, he drank, he relieved himself, he slept, did everything in that room, along with his wet nurse. And she took care of him. So that was how he escaped the sword of Asalia. When he was 7 years old, Yehoyada Kohen Gadol engineered a coup, and they killed Asalia, and he was reinstated. He became the king. So David HaMelech was reinstated. Yehoash, the Gemara tells us, did wonderful things. The Pesukim say he did wonderful things. We read about him for Parshas Shkalim, the Haftarah of Parshas Shkalim, how he fixed up the Beis HaMikdash, and he did everything. As long as Yehoyada Kohen Gadol was alive, he was a big tzaddik. Yehoyada Kohen Gadol lived a long time. He lived to be 130 years old. When Yehoyada Kohen Gadol died, so then Yehoash's subjects came to him and they said that you survived living in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. No one can do that. You're not even allowed to go in there except for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. So they said you must be a god. And they began to worship Yehoash, and he did not protest. He accepted that worship. So they made him into an Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk tells us in Devar Hayom that Hashem sent Nevi'im to warn him that he has to stop. And Klal Yisrael, as a result of this, started worshipping Avodah Zarah, not just him, but other Avodah Zarahs. So they sent a Navi to warn them, Nevi'im. The Nevi'im were afraid to say anything. Some did, I guess some didn't, I don't know, it doesn't tell us. But finally, Zechariah, who was the son of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, Zechariah got up and he gave the Musar to everybody. The Medrash says that Zechariah was not afraid of being punished for it because he was the Navi and he was the Kayin. He might have been the Kayin Gadol, and it was on Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. And also the Medrash says he was Chasan HaMelech. Now I don't know if that means he was literally the son-in-law of the king or if it just means that he was very close to the king. At any rate, when he started to warn them, admonish them, then Yehoash sent people who killed him right there on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen, the Navi. So that's a tremendous avera. It's murder is always bad, but to kill the Kohen, the Navi, on Yom Kippur it's over the top. It's so beyond
eating a ham and cheese sandwich on the coast on Pesach.
Right, and it's that pales in comparison. Right. And this is like, you know, this is beyond.
You were thinking about this.
So.
Ham and cheese, isn't it?
Okay.
No, for me.
Bacon and cheese.
Okay. Now.
I've been thinking about it. Sorry.
Now. So then Yehoash did that. Now Yehoash ended up being killed for that. He was killed by two of his servants, one who was an Ammoni, one was a Moavi, who killed him. And the Medrash says why? Because the pasuk really says because he was a kafui toiva, that Yehoash did not remember the toiva that he didn't. He didn't have Hakar Satai for the Taiva that Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, Zechariah's father, did for him to save his life and save the line of David HaMelech. And instead, he repaid the Taiva with Ra'ah. So Yavai, Ammon, and Moav, who they are Kafui Taiva, that they didn't help Kohen Yisrael. Instead, they brought Bilam HaRash against us. So Mida, Keneged Mida, the Kefuye Taiva should come against the one who was Kafui Taiva. That's the Maisa. So here you have the result of that and how many nefashos were killed in order to be mechaper for the blood of Zechariah Hanavi. Nebuzradan is very moved by this and he says if one of these people gets hundreds of thousands of people killed just for him, imagine what's going to happen to me for all these hundreds of thousands of people that I killed. And because of that he does tshuva and he becomes a ger. Again, I don't know if it was a tshuva shleima. I don't know if it means that he wasn't punished at all.
His kid didn't become a
no, but the mashmosh of the gemara is that he himself was a ger. That's already a madrega. That's a schus, so he himself became a ger. Okay. Now, the way these meisim are all tied together is incredible. We have to work through the whole thread of what's going on here. We've dated it back right now. This whole mice of Zechariah Kohen Gadol and it was Radon goes back to what? It goes back to Noivir HaKayanim. See, all these mice in here in Chelek, they're not disjointed at all. It's really one thread that we're being presented with. That you have to go back to Noivir HaKayanim, which goes back to Shaul and David HaMelech, with Dayag HaDaimi, which really goes back, as we mentioned last week, to Rus and Arpa. I mean, you're going all the way back, which you're going to read this Megillas Rus on Shavuos. That's really the seeds for all of this, that struggle. And the struggle then of Doeg and David and Naivir HaKayanim going down to Yehoash being saved, going because he was saved, and then because of that, it was Gufa, he's being saved in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and that brings about the Avodah Zarah. Then he's being Kafui Toiv for being saved, which therefore brings who against him to kill him? Ammon and Moav, which is where we started with Rus and Arpa, who are from Moav. And then, when we get down to the bottom of Tzadi Vavam and Beis, we're going to be faced with the Gemara telling us that who brought Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Ammon and Moav. That's where it's going to come from. That's where ultimately it's going to come from, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So the whole, which brings Nebuzradan to kill all these people for the killing of Zechariah Hanavi. The only reason Nebuzaradan is there is because Ammon Umayyav convinced Nebuchadnezzar, who was afraid to come because he was afraid of what happened to Sancherib, which he witnessed, as did Nebuzaradan. They were two of the survivors. They both witnessed it. They were afraid to go to Yerushalayim. But because Ammon Umayyav talked them into it, they came. And because Nebuzaradan came and saw the blood of Zechariah, he kills all those people, which is mechaper for the death of Zechariah, which was brought about by Yehoash, who was a Kafui Toiva, who was in turn killed by Ammon Umayyav. So the whole thing, the thread here is very much connected all the way through all of these Maisim. So that's what we're holding right now. Next week, Mirtz Hashem, my plan is to try to develop this thread a little bit more clearly, the thread of Ammon Umayyav through to this Maisa. I'm planning on perhaps doing that, and of course going right on to Tzadi Zayin.